This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Modern Self-Protection Middle of the Week podcast here on the Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. Normally, Ben Branham does these by himself. Normally, he submits a gun review or something like that. This week's a little bit different. I got together with Ben and we did an interview. So we got a short interview with you for you on vehicle preparedness. As I mentioned back in episode 200, I was going to start including more preparedness and survival information into the Handgun World podcast because I really believe that that's important. I think there's more to it to survival. There's more to self-defense even than just knowing how to shoot a gun effectively. Buying guns and all that, that's all fine and dandy. And as you know, I'm a huge believer in the Second Amendment and everyone's right to own and keep guns. But I think you'll agree that personal responsibility includes a lot more than just being able to own and fire a handgun efficiently. And I also think that we've got some pretty bad times coming in the country. I don't want to be tinfoil hattish. When I say bad times, I mean it's going to get tougher and tougher for people who are not prepared. And it's not going to be quite as tough for people who are prepared. And I think that we've got a direction coming in the country that probably is not going to be real rosy, no matter who wins this upcoming election, because we got some serious challenges, both economically and a few other challenges that lie ahead as well. Now, does this mean that you should panic? No, no panicking. That's why I don't like to make this tinfoil hattish. For some of you that used to listen to me when I did the Today's Survival Show at the other podcast I used to do, the very first one that I started, as you know, I'm not a tinfoil hat kind of guy. And I think some people can get way too wacky on that. Ben and I are going to keep this rooted in common sense and down to earth. So we talk about what to have in your car. Now, you remember that terrific episode that John Hadaway did several weeks ago when he interviewed with me and he told us about the guns and the preparedness and survival stuff that he keeps in his F-150 pickup truck? Well, I got a lot of great reviews on that. Ben and I decided to get together and talk about some of the things that we carry, and we made this a little bit different than what John shared with us several weeks ago. So here you go, just a brief intermission, and Ben and I are going to talk about prepping in your car.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and other listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit GunRightsRadio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership. GunRightsRadio.com.
Ben Branham joins me again for the middle of the week MSP podcast. How's it going, Ben?
It's going great. Had another great lunch with you. I like it when you want me to podcast. I get lunch.
Yeah, and we podcast on a full stomach. So, you know, that's we're going to have to try to get our energy going here because every time I fill my stomach up, I get sleepy.
I just want to burp into the radio all the time. So I'll try not to do that for you guys.
No burping in the radio. Anyway, we're going to talk about some vehicle preparedness items, and I wanted to do this as a follow-up to the show that the interview that John Hadaway did several weeks ago, the podcast entitled What's in Your Car. John did a pretty good job of talking guns. You and I are going to talk about a few other things, aren't we?
Yeah, John did an amazing job about what he carries in his rifles and his everything that he carries, all those guns and why. But there's other stuff that you need to carry in your truck, too. Or I say truck because I drive for the oil fields, as most of you know. And I could get stuck out in the middle of nowhere, literally be 30, 40, 50 miles down a dirt road to the next highway, and then from the highway be 100 miles from the nearest town. So I kind of really, guns are not the only thing that I carry in my truck to keep myself safe.
And I find there's a lot of people that aren't prepared enough that do a lot of traveling. And if you're listening to this thinking, well, all I do is commute to work every day,
you still need to have preparedness items in your vehicle, even if all you do is commute to work back and forth.
If your commute is longer than you can walk with a broken leg, you need to have some prepared stuff in your car. And I just
that's a good point.
In case you get hurt one day. You know, most of you, if you commute 1 or 2 miles a day, one of my good friends who's a marathon runner, he commutes 4 miles a day. He really doesn't keep anything in his car because his plan is just to run home. It's a good plan unless, you know, the broken leg is kind of hard. So I think everybody should keep basic stuff in your car.
So let's talk about some of that. Now, in the back of my car right now, I've got a little survival kit back there. It's an old shooting bag that I don't use anymore. I got all kinds of stuff. I got stuff to make shelter with, and you know, you and I were talking about the fact that your vehicle is not really a good shelter. Some people think it is. How come you think it's not?
Yeah, we can start right there. Your car gets really, really hot when it's hot outside, and it gets really, really cold when it's cold outside. You're in a metal steel box with windows. So, not really going to help you a lot. If it's cold outside, you're going to freeze to death in your car. If it's hot outside, you're just going to fry in your car if it doesn't run. Think about getting broken down on the side of the road. I mean, go sit in your car for a while. All those laws about keeping your kid in the car without it running, that's why. Your car is designed to be cooled and heated by the AC. It's not designed to keep or stay cool or stay hot.
Yeah, in my little survival kit in my trunk, I've got, you know, one of the things a lot of people don't think about, I've got these large contractor-grade trash bags. You go to Home Depot, you buy the real thick contractor grade, they're something like 55 gallon, and you can make some nice shelter with those things. You get those, some paracord, and you could tie those to the side of your car and create some shade, some shelter from rain and stuff like that. So I've got a bunch of those in my trunk right now.
I actually keep a emergency tarp. You can get them for about $5. They're about 10 by 10 or 12 by 12. Real thin tarps, you wouldn't want to use them a lot, but for an emergency, they're like $5. A real 12 by 12 tarp is, you know, they're 25. I just saw a couple of them at Costco today for $25 for real cheap. But, you know, that's not something. And they're thick. The survival ones are like $5, super thin, super easy. They come with eyelets already, so you don't have to try to tie a cord to them. You can, you know, just wrap a cord through them. I'm saying cord. It's really hard to make rope on your own, too. So you should always want to carry some 550 cord is my basis to go with. Love that stuff. Super thin, super cheap. Get it any surplus or military store. I think, 100 feet is like $5 or something. You can get 500 feet for like $20. Super cheap, really easy. Just cut it all the time. In there, you should have a knife. So I'm just talking about creating shelter right now. If you have a knife, some 550 cord, and a tarp, you can make some great shelters to keep yourself warm or to keep yourself cool.
I got 550 cord and rope back there in my trunk. And I fit all this stuff into a little old Smith & Wesson shooting bag that I don't even use that I actually got for free. Another thing I keep in there, a lot of people don't realize how important that is a power inverter. Yeah. You know, that I can plug right into the DC power source in my car and I can run AC-powered items off of it.
Yeah, they come in super cheap. I just bought one because mine burns out once every 6 months for work or something, and because I charge batteries for my drills and stuff at work. But they're, what did I pay, like $20 for a 150-watt inverter, plugs right into your lighter of your car, and I even use it all the time because it has USB jacks that I plug in my iPhone to all the time. But yeah, when something happens, I can always plug in whatever I want. They're not enough to run a refrigerator, but they're enough to run something else like a fan or whatever you find. And they're so cheap and they're so... you know what? If you buy one, you'll find yourself using it all the time.
And as long as you have gas in your car, you have a power source with one of those things. You know, that's what's really cool. Let me tell you how it saved my butt one day. This was when I was living up in Dallas, and it was about 106 degrees. And sure enough, I go in to make a sales call. I come back out. Guess what I have? A flat tire. Now, I had an air compressor in my SUV at that time, but the problem is, and my plan was to pump the tire up and get to a tire shop, which was about 3 miles down the road, and that worked. But guess what? The air compressor only ran off of AC. It didn't run off of DC. Well, because I had a power inverter, I was able to plug that into the DC power source, pump up my tire. It held enough air. I got to the tire shop, got it fixed and stuff like that. But that saved my butt. It was 106 degrees, and I'm thinking, this is going to suck if I got to change a tire. I could have done it. I've changed plenty of tires in the heat, but I didn't want to.
Or you have to sit there and wait till somebody comes. That sucks, too.
Yeah.
So on that stuff, you just need to have that inverter helps. Real quick on inverters, if you don't know how they work, 150 watts means you can plug in a little fan, a little AC compressor, something like that. Anything over 150 watts won't work on your DC. Not your DC. I'm sorry. It won't work on
your inverter.
For your little, you can't plug it directly into your cigarette lighter.
Correct.
Your cigarette lighter won't hold enough current. You have to go direct to the battery.
Right.
So, just a quick one. When you buy one, 150 watts is pretty much more than enough to run anything. Less than a TV. I can run my computer on it. I can run, what else have I run? Little DVD players. I've run miscellaneous blowers and fans for work. But that's really enough to run anything small, like computer or smaller.
Yep. The other thing I keep in my survival kit in my vehicle, and I try not to go real tinfoil hat with my preparedness stuff, but I've got extra food back there. I got mainly canned food. I've got tuna. I've got canned chicken. I got some canned vegetables and plastic silverware to use. So if for some reason I'm stranded on the road, and I do a lot of traveling, I'm over 3,000 miles a month on the average. In fact, last month I did over 4,000 miles. You know, I never know where I might be stranded for some reason, and I can't get to a food source quickly.
Yeah, boy, I'm coming to you to eat. I have literally an MRE in my truck box and two MREs under my seat.
I've also got some venison sausage back there that's vacuum wrapped so that it'll keep in there forever. Let's see, I've got a couple bottles of water. So come on over to my car for dinner.
Yeah, we'll leave the MREs for true emergencies. If you guys haven't eaten MREs, it's because I ate them for months on end. And if you eat one, it's not too bad. If you got to eat them every day, it got to the point where you'll go hungry before you eat the stinking things. But MREs are great because there's 11 to 1200 calories in each one of them. So I could literally survive on one of those a day, and that gives me my 3 days of preparedness. And that's what I generally want to think of in my truck, is I have enough for 3 days to survive wherever I'm sitting. So I keep, during the summer, I keep at least 3 gallons of water under my seat in the back. I've got 3 meals. I've got a way to survive the night for 3 days. And I got a way to survive the heat here in South Texas for 3 days.
Yeah. Now, I like to keep an entire case of bottled water. Now, in my little survival bag, I've got 3 bottles. So if I got to throw that thing over my shoulder and go on foot somewhere, I've at least got 3 bottles of water until I get to where I'm going on foot. But if I'm stranded in my car for a couple days, I can survive quite nicely on 24 bottles of water.
Yeah, and you know, I heard you say that with John Hodaway's show, and I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy a case of water. I've been keeping gallons of water behind my seat just because it's super packs easy. You buy them for 99 cents at Walmart, and I'll normally drink them throughout the day. I actually use them, so that's how I rotate them. So I'll drink them while I'm working, and then I'll just buy another one, so I keep at least 3. But I like your idea, because then I can always, if I have to go on foot, I don't have to take whole gallons of water with me. I can just take little bottles. I can spread the weight if I have somebody else with me, like my wife or my kid. My kid will carry a bottle or two. He's not going to carry a gallon of water.
Nope.
For those of you who don't know, I have a 3-year-old, so he'll carry a couple bottles of water, but he's not going to carry 8 pounds of 1 gallon.
Now, my 14-year-old can carry a gallon, but not your 3-year-old.
Make your 14-year-old carry all 3 gallons.
Yeah, no kidding. The other thing I keep in there that I want to encourage people to do is some small tools. I've got a ratchet set in there, so I've got some wrenches. I got plenty of knives, screwdrivers, a multi-tool. Let's see, what else? I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
You need a crescent wrench.
Got to have a crescent wrench.
And a pair of pliers.
I got that in there.
And, you know, that's pretty much... Oh, and I use wire cutters at work. But it pretty much, that's what I survive on at work all the time. And I do industrial work for... I can do a ratchet set, a crescent wrench, a pair of pliers, and a pair of wire cutters. And those are the four... Phillips and flathead screwdrivers. Make sure you have one of each, or you have the fancy one that flips. Trust me, because you look like a monkey trying to do a math problem, trying to use a Phillips screwdriver to do a flathead screwdriver.
I got one of those, the fancy ones that flips.
Yeah, and so with those 6 tools, you can pretty much do everything around your car that you can do. Anything that you can't use those tools for, you pretty much need a mechanic, and if you're the mechanic, you know what tools you need.
Yep.
But you think about, so that's real simple, those 6 things. A ratchet set, you can get them Walmart, $10. Crescent wrench, they're almost $10. They're kind of expensive, but get a good one because you don't want to break it. And a good one is about $10. pliers. Buy $2 cheap pliers. If you use them once and they break, who cares? As long as they work once. Wire cutters, because you trust me, cutting a piece of wire with your knife sucks and it hurts. And then the screwdriver thing is like the last one. I buy 99 cent screwdrivers at Walmart or at AutoZone because I lose them all the time. So I'll go in there and buy 3 screwdrivers at a time. But because that's because I use them all the time. But if you get those little things, you can do almost anything around your truck. And you can also build things if you get stuck out someplace. I mean, become the roadside mechanic. We're not, and it almost sounds tinfoil hat, like we're going to, oh, this huge breakdown, it's going to look like revolution. No, I'm talking about what happened in that ice storm a couple years ago where people were stuck on the road for almost 3 days.
Yep.
And people were piling in the truckers' trucks because they're the only ones that had enough fuel to keep the truck running for any length of time. You know, how long is your car going to idle if you're stuck on the highway for 2 days? It took them 2 to 3 days to get people to help. And I know a lot of the truckers had food and everything. And this is why I always say, if you listen to my podcast and if you go see, truckers are great people. They look like those people you wouldn't want to talk to. But most of them, it's just because they live out of their truck and they don't care. You're catching them on their living room floor hanging out for the night. That's their truck. They're really, really great people. And I remember that huge accident back east. And a lot of people would have died, froze to death. Literally, if the trucker hadn't just opened up his truck and said, hey, man, I got heat, and he gets 20 or 30 people in the cab of his truck to run that heater all night so people didn't freeze to death. So it's not just always tinfoil hat. It's little things, and who would have ever thought that highway's open every day, all the time, that all of a sudden there would be this huge accident and snow, and it would shut down the road for almost 3 days that nobody could get anywhere.
Yeah, well, people who live up north that are listening to this podcast, and, excuse me, and the reason I know this is because I'm from Wisconsin. I grew up in that stuff. You know, blizzards, you could be stranded from anywhere from an hour or two to, it's not uncommon for people to be stranded on the road for 2 or 3 days in a blizzard. You know, are you ready for that? Do you have the supplies in your vehicle? Do you have stuff to keep yourself warm? Winter's coming up. You know, we're recording this in early October. We don't have to worry about this in San Antonio, Texas. But in Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, you know, places like that, Montana, where they're going to get heavy snowfalls, even Colorado, you know, can you keep yourself warm if you break down in the winter?
Yeah, you just, even here in San Antonio, if you go north a little bit, it's not uncommon to have 20-degree nights.
True.
Imagine trying to do that in shorts and a t-shirt or jeans and a t-shirt. You might freeze to death or not. I keep one of those little snug pack sleeping bags. I bought it for like $30. It's supposed to go down to 30 degrees to be comfortable. So I can put that with a little shelter with that emergency poncho I have, and I can stay warm and survive a night without a problem. I'll be kind of sad that I don't have my big screen TV at home, but I'm not going to have any problem with hypothermia or getting close to death or getting panicky, because I'll just unroll my sleeping bag and sleep in the back of my truck, or put out the tarp and roll up in it inside the sleeping bag, and it won't be a big issue. So that's what I want to do really with this stuff, is I want to get enough stuff in my truck to make some huge emergency that could kill you into an inconvenience. It's inconvenient to be stuck on the highway for 3 days. But if I have food, water, shelter, security, and some energy, those 5 survival needs, I can survive. It stinks. I'd rather be, you know, curled up in my bed with my wife watching my TV than being out on the side of the road somewhere trying to keep warm in a poncho. But, hey, like inconvenience or death, you know, some of those people find out the hard way that you need a sleeping bag in the back of your truck. In South Texas here, it's water. Man, you really, if you try to sit in your car for any length of time, it'll be 135 degrees in your car, humidity at 90%. You could die without water in the day. You could dehydrate and be dead by the time they find you the next day.
So for those of you who live in hot climates, maybe 2 cases of water would be smarter than 1. And, you know, there's people listening to this. I know what's going through their mind, because this went through my mind, too. Boy, that's a lot of stuff. You'd be amazed how much it does not take up much room. It really doesn't. You know, I got a Honda Accord, and I got all this stuff that we're talking about in the trunk of my car. I mean, and plus I got all my business stuff. I got all my brochures and my demos. I have everything in a range bag, just about. Everything in a range bag, and if you pack it right and you pack it smartly, you can also go, if you don't have one of these, you can go to Academy or whatever sporting goods store is near you, and you can buy one of these internal frame backpacks with the internal aluminum frame.
Oh, those are great.
Those are great. And you can pack your survival emergency stuff for your vehicle in one of those packs. And the great thing about doing that is if you got to get on foot somewhere, you just throw the backpack on and start going.
Yeah, I wanted to say that a couple times when you said, I have a bag in my truck. That's, you got to have a backpack or a shoulder bag or something. Again, if my car breaks down, I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere, and I want to get home, or the freeways are completely shut down like that. I really wish I could remember what state that was. But, and I only live 10 miles from there. I could grab my bag, throw it over my shoulder, walk the 10 miles home. Yeah, it would take me all day, but that night I'd be nice and warm in my bed, and I can have my wife take me to get my car later in 2 or 3 days when the highway opens.
That's right. And for those of you who can do this, if it's legal in your state, have an extra firearm in that bag, some extra ammunition, maybe some extra lubrication for that firearm. Here in Texas, it's not an issue. It's legal for us to have loaded guns in our car, driving all around, all you want to do, because in Texas, your car is an extension of your home.
Well, and I would even say in states like California, where it's only legal to carry the gun when it's locked in a case, we're talking emergency situations, so it might not be a bad idea to have a bag. And for those of you who don't know me, I have a go bag or a little man purse, and I take it in and out of my truck every day, and it has some of the little basic survival needs. It has a basic first aid kit, and that's where I keep my gun and my ammo. Well, you could do that even in California. You just have to have it in a locked case. You know me, I keep it, and it's a special bag designed to hold a gun, so it goes in the spot, and I keep it loaded. But if you're in another state that doesn't allow that, we're talking an emergency situation where you're stuck on the highway all by yourself. What if you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere and there's nobody around? What happens if you get stuck on that highway in the middle of nowhere and people start getting desperate? Now you have a gun. If you've got to go on foot, take the gun with you. Put it in a bag. It's an emergency, you know. I hate to say this. How many times have you ever been searched by a cop? How many times has a cop searched your vehicle?
It's actually never happened to me.
I wouldn't say it will never happen, but it's never happened to me either. So if you're in an emergency situation, you got to look at your own survival first. So if it's illegal for you to carry a gun in your state, but something happened, there's a huge ice storm, or all the power is out because it's 110 degrees and everybody's trying to crank their AC, so none of the traffic lights are working, and you just decide you're going to abandon your car and walk home. Anytime you're in an emergency situation, I'd say, you know, weigh your options. I won't tell you to break the law, but I'd say weigh your options and think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, these are all good things to think about. Now, I just want to put the word out there, too, to everybody listening to this, that for those of you who have signed up for our Shooters Club member support program, Ben and I will be getting together and doing more stuff like this one that's exclusive for the members, and that's probably going to be some of the audio podcasts coming out. We're going to kind of mix guns and survival a little bit. So if you haven't gotten signed up yet, just go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club page, and you'll see everything on there. And by the way, I just released the first audio with Masad Ayoub on there, so you might want to get signed up for that. Videos are coming out November 1st, right?
Yeah, I'm cutting videos right now. We actually filmed a bunch of stuff on the range we're going to throw up there.
Tell them what we filmed.
We filmed malfunction drills, which we do a little bit different than everybody else. I think you'll find that really informative. If you haven't seen my way or been to one of my classes or had me teach you how to do malfunction drills, I think you'll really like that. We did shooting on the move, which Bob showed you how to do laterally. I show you how to do forward and back. He's got a little different way of doing it, and he's really... At first I was like, and then I tried it. If you try it, you'll like it. It works really well. What else do we... Oh, using a timer.
Using how to use a shot timer.
If you guys don't have a shot timer, you should. They're really, really cool tools. I have two videos on that. One, how to use it on the range with your buddy or by yourself. And the other one is actually how to use a shot timer when you go do drive practice at home. It is possible, and I'll show you how to do that.
And all that's on video. And by the way, for those of you who have come to our class as a way to say thank you, any graduate of our class gets the entire one-year membership at half price. So if you get the audio membership, which is normally $50, if you're a graduate, you get it for $25. And if you get the audio and video, which is $75, you get it for $37.50. So half price, but go to shootersclub.com, or excuse me, go to handgunworld.com and click the Shooters Club page.
Yeah, and then we're going to be doing other stuff, too. We're going to start selling some DVDs and stuff. Everything that we sell will be a huge discount. All our classes will give you a discount, too, if you're a member. I'm trying to think what else we're throwing. We've been building this site for a while in this area, and we keep throwing more and more ideas, and just like every idea that we can think of to make it more value, we're throwing in there. So I'm writing a book. As soon as the book gets done, it'll be free in there. I'll be selling it for 10
bucks. Are you going to make your book available to the members?
Yeah, I'll be giving that away to the members. I'm going to be selling it to everybody else for 10 or 15 bucks, so that'll be free.
Good. Hey, something else I want to talk about, a little survival thing that is a good little tool.
Switching gears.
Yeah, switching gears. Yeah, I almost forgot to talk about this. CRKT sent me a little exit tool that is really cool. It's a seatbelt cutter, and it's also got a little flashlight on it, which is kind of neat. And it's also got the glass breaker. So it has some of the features of that one knife that they sent me. So go to CRKT and get the exit tool. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to list this in the Everyday Carry store on my website. If you go to handgunworld.com, you'll see where it says My EDC Store. And you can buy this through, I'll put this on the Amazon link as well. But this is good. This CRKT tool is good.
Yeah, I don't know how this glass cutter works. We're sitting in your car. Can we try it?
No, the glass breaker.
The
glass
breaker. I'm not the cutter. Yeah, the glass breaker. I'm wondering
how
it's
going to
work.
No, no, no. We're not going to try it. You know, we're not going
to
try it.
Honestly, it looks a little bit small for the other ones I've used and hard to hang on to.
Yeah.
The seat belt cutter is really cool how they have it set up. Really easy to flip in and out. And this one actually looks like it's designed to go on your seat belt so you don't lose it.
Goes on your seat belt, right.
So, yeah, and a lot of these tools are set up to be... Like, I'm falling in the river and the water's coming over my head. How do I get out of the seatbelt and out of the car? If you haven't seen any of the tests, it's really hard to open a door when the car is underwater.
Yep.
And you have to wait till almost, if the window's up, you have to wait till the pressure equalizes so you can open the door. And that means holding your breath for 30 seconds to a minute and then getting out. It's a long time to hold your breath and then swim out. But so these glass breakers are pretty cool. This one's a little bit small. I don't know how well it would work, but if I was in pretty desperate, I bet I can make it work. And that it clips to your seatbelt seems to be like a good thing. But you keep it right in your little console right there as long as you know where it is all the time.
I know where it is all the time. But hopefully we've given you some good ideas on this midweek podcast to kind of start thinking about preparedness. Ben and I are going to do more on this. So it probably in a couple months we'll put out, because we got some more gun stuff to put out. But we'll probably put some more of this preparedness type stuff on the members support podcast called Shooters Club.
Yeah, and just start putting some stuff in your car. Just, it's real simple to think. Everybody wants a list on this stuff. When I first started doing this preparedness stuff, I don't know about you, but I wanted a A to Z list, packing list. The military used to give us a packing list. You're going somewhere, you're going to have at least this stuff, and you'd have an itemized list. Nobody can have an itemized list for you, and every situation is going to be different. Every person is going to be different. Every vehicle is going to be different. Just think about the stuff that if you had to stay someplace for 3 days, or if you had to walk home, what would you want with you?
Yep.
And I'm not talking your TV and stuff, but I'm bare minimum to survive. And then after you get the to survive stuff, then you can start adding a couple, I don't know, fun things. I have an extra battery for my iPhone, which is double fold, so I can actually, I could watch my iPhone for a long time, keep a couple movies on there, listen to some music, and still plug it in to keep it charged if I wanted to. But so things become twofold like that.
And trust me, you know what? If you're stranded on the road, having a fully charged iPhone is a huge asset. I mean, you can listen to the Handgun World podcast and keep yourself entertained as well as music, too.
Or even worse, if you didn't listen to the show beforehand, you can listen to the show now and figure out what you forgot to put in your preps.
Exactly. You'll remember that MSP6 podcast that Bob and Ben did when they talked about putting stuff in your car that you forgot to bring.
You can kick yourself while you're listening to it. Give you something to do. But, yeah, so just start thinking about those things that I need to survive for 3 days. Especially you guys that need medication. You have little kids. When I have my kid in the car, oh, boy, we need some toys. Because he's not going to sit there for 3 days.
Nope.
So, you know, stuff like that. Think about your individual needs and just what you need to survive for 3 days. Food, really minimally. Water, you need water. You need heat. Those five things. You need food, water, shelter, energy, and security.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we covered those pretty decently.
Yeah, we did. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
No problem. Had a good time. You guys all check out my website. Check out Bob's website. If you have any questions, shoot me an email at ben@modernselfprotection.com. And Bob, I don't have your email, or I'd give it out right now.
Okay, well, I'll give it out in a minute. But before we sign off, have you put up any new podcasts?
Yeah, I just did the last one. What did I do my last? This is horrible. I can't remember what. I did a podcast on Kiss It, Keeping It Stupid Simple.
I haven't listened to that one yet. I got to listen to that one.
And as a Marine, it's got to be stupid simple to get done. So that should be real good for everybody to go check out and see how to keep your training and your life simple.
I like this new podcast app on the latest operating system of iTunes. There's your Modern Self-Protection. Oh, yeah, I downloaded it. No, I didn't. I got to download it right now. Check out Ben's show, Modern Self-Protection Podcast. Go to modernselfprotection.com. It's also on iTunes. I'm downloading Podcast 5 right now. My email address, bob@handgunworld.com. Always drop me a line, call the voicemail if you want. Leave a comment in the 18,000 different places where you can leave comments for me. And thanks for listening to number 6 of the middle of the week, folks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody. And remember, your mind is the weapon. Guns and knives are only tools. Train it well.
Well, many thanks to Ben. That was a very insightful little short podcast. You know, these middle-of-the-week shows are just going to be little shorter podcasts than the normal podcast that I typically put out on Sunday afternoons. And I'm trying to throw some variety in this. So if you got some family members that maybe aren't really so much into guns, you might want to have them tune in every Wednesday or Thursday and listen to our middle of the week shows, because we do plan on putting out more information that's not always gun related, but they're excellent for people who are preparedness, survival, or self-defense minded folks. That's the main target audience for those middle of the week shows. And we'll continue with the gun reviews. We're not going to quit those. So that's what you can look forward to. And also, as we mentioned in that podcast, if you are a Shooters Club supporting member, you'll get more preparedness stuff from Ben and I. Those will be part of the audio releases. You know, we've already set out episode 1, so it's been sent out to those who have already signed up to become an annual supporting member. Masada Yub is on that, talking about open carry versus constitutional carry and the Vermont model. He expanded. There's a lot more than what you heard in episode 200. That was just a little bit of a taste there for you. So you'll get about once every 3 weeks, you'll get audio from us. And we've got our videos just about all ready to go. So certainly by the 1st of November, maybe even sooner, you'll get the first video from us. So just go to handgunworld.com. I keep saying the wrong webpage. Go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club link, and you can see what it all entails and how to get signed up for that. Now, just a personal experience I want to share with you before I let you go here on vehicle preparedness. You have to remember out of sight, out of mind. Whatever you're going to put in your car, one thing you don't want is you don't want it to invite thieves. A personal experience that happened to me about 7 years ago, I had an SUV at that time for a company vehicle. And the thing I don't like about SUVs, it's kind of tough to hide things inside of an SUV. Not impossible, but it's tougher than a vehicle with a trunk, or tougher than a pickup truck where you can put things under the seat like John Hathaway does, or if you've got a cover for the back of your truck for the cargo area, you can cover things up that way. Or putting them inside of a toolbox and stuff is a way to hide them. So what happened to me was I had a computer bag that had one of my alarm system demos in there. I was in the business of selling home alarms at that time. I was with a manufacturer. Well, some thieves thought I had a laptop in there. So they smashed in the left rear window of my SUV. It was a smash and grab. They smashed it in. They took a bunch of stuff out of my SUV. And it ended up costing like $400 and something to get all the glass fixed. And it was just a real mess. It was a real nightmare. And I just, you know what? I wanted to just pound the crap out of whoever did it, you know? Doesn't it give you a violated feeling? You ever been in that situation where you get broken into, or your vehicle gets broken into or something? Man, you just want to destroy the person that did that. Of course, I never did find out who did it. But the moral of the story is I had my demo in a computer laptop carrying case. So I'm sure the thieves thought it was a laptop, and they busted in my vehicle to steal it. I'm sure they were quite disappointed when they opened that case and found one of my product demos that salesmen typically carry around with them. But that's the lesson learned, is try to hide that stuff as much as you can, okay? All right, thanks for tuning in to this middle of the week, episode number 6 of the MSP Modern Self-Protection Podcast. Remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Catch you next time. Goodbye.